This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Once upon a time.
This is how he's starting.
A long, long time ago.
Right.
There was a young man, young boy, named Mashin Munir.
Right.
13, starting high school as a freshman, and not doing very well in school. Doing very poor in school. Not doing very good, not getting the best grades. The A's turned to B's, the B's turned to C's. And not so long after, the C's met the D's.
Oh, wow.
And so on and so forth.
We're doing poetry today.
Once upon a time, 18-year-old Mashin, freshman year of community college. Not having a care in the world, not having a thought in the world, not knowing what direction to go in life. Failing classes, spending money, not knowing if the school thing was going to work out. Spending day and night looking for the words to explain to his mother how he will drop out of school. Would you like to complete the ending of this
story? No, the ending is all yours.
Well, I'll complete the ending of the story because the ending of the story so happened to happen a few days ago where young, fragile, timid Mashin graduated college on August 6th, 2022 with a bachelor's degree. Don't ask about his GPA because that doesn't matter.
Not only with a bachelor's degree, but a double major in integrated business and marketing with the full-time job.
Listen. Listen, hold your applause, okay?
No one was about to applause.
No, but I graduated this weekend. Mo saw me graduate. She saw me walk. We got some good pictures. And it's crazy. That's my big news. That's the thing that I've been working towards my whole life. Not knowing if I was going to get it. Not knowing when. Not knowing anything. But alas, the young man got it. And now we are here.
Yo, if you don't know, this man has been talking about school and how hard it is and graduation since we started this podcast, since we met. So,
yeah.
I'm so proud of you. I saw him walk across stage. I put his baby face on popsicle sticks. We were waving that around.
Let me talk about all the stuff this woman did for me. She blew up 1 million balloons for me because she knows I love balloons. She surprised me with them in the morning. This woman put my baby face on popsicle sticks to wave around. My mother took them to work and showed all of her coworkers.
True.
This woman put cute little yard signs in my yard that did fall over, but it's okay because you know why? It's the thought. It is the thought that counts.
Yeah.
All in all, I had a good weekend. I hope you had a good weekend.
I did.
And we're here.
We're here. Both got our degrees. We're a degree hotter.
Yeah, we're educated. This podcast is gonna get a lot smarter now. You know, you gotta hold tight because
it rose in value.
It did. Price went up.
Mm.
Yesterday's price is not today's price.
Oh, wow.
Anyways, welcome back to our beautiful, lovely podcast, Difficult-ish, hosted by myself, bachelor's degree, Mashin Munir.
And my name is Mahua. I forgot to say the little intro of what our podcast is, you know.
This, I hope you guys know at this point, this is a podcast where we talk about South Asian narratives. We talk about, you know, struggles of the South Asian individual, the brown folk, things that we've gone through. You know, one of the reasons why we started this podcast, one, or at least for me, was because I wanted to showcase the life of a brown kid who didn't do very well in school. You know, we all hear those success stories of all the, you know, our peers who did amazing in school, and God bless them. But, you know, want to highlight some of me, you feel me? Anyways, welcome back to our podcast. Before we get any further, one, rate us, a 5.
Obviously.
Review us, obviously, leave us some words.
Review us because he just graduated school.
Exactly. Listen, this is episode 50. Episode 50, you know.
Oh, boom. Yeah.
Yeah. And third of all, before we get any further, last episode, episode 49, was probably our favorite one that we've done, the most important one we've done, the most asked about one we have done. Y'all have been asking for it for centuries, you know.
So yeah.
Since the dawn of this podcast.
Since we before even started.
You know, no need to explain any further. Just go check it out, okay? It's a good listen. It's a funny chuckle with us. Haha. You know?
Story of how we met, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so today, you know, we were kind of brainstorming what we wanted to talk about. We had a few ideas, not really. And we were talking about, you know, what if we talked about the untraditional paths that we went on? Things that are not conventional for our genders. So specifically us, you know, men and women. So, you know, whether it be wearing feminine clothes as a male or going to the gym as a female, just some things that aren't really... you know, normal in South Asian society, and some things that are kind of discouraged because of your gender. And we wanted to, you know, share some of our experiences. We have quite a few. And we also wanted to, you know, talk a little bit about why our parents are like that, why the South Asian community in general kind of discourages some things for, you know, certain people, certain communities, certain genders, whatever it is. And, you know, as you guys know, we always end with our advice / questions from you that we get sent on our Instagram, and then we just discuss it. So we got a few things to say. This one's gonna be a little bit lighthearted. You know, we have been doing, you know, a lot of heavy topics recently, you know, toxic masculinity, emotional abuse.
Wow.
We just wanted to, you know, keep things a little warm for our 50th episode, so I hope y'all don't mind, you know.
Anyways, how do you feel about this topic? Right? Do you think this is something that, you know, you've gone through a lot? Obviously, I know I have. You know, do you think that this is something that needs to be addressed? You know, how do we have this conversation with, you know, the individuals that have a problem with us kind of, you know, not crossing boundaries, but, you know, maybe challenging a little bit of what they are used to, what they know? You know, what's your opinion on this?
You know, let me give a little disclaimer. I feel like my parents raised me and my brother in a pretty equal way to the best of their ability. You know, they never like gave my brother more education than me. They always emphasized education for both of us. Like my parents, even now, I'm turning 24 in like 4 days, and they have never enforced marriage on me. They have never really brought that up to me. They always want me to like be on my own 2 feet before I, you know, depend on anyone else or get married to someone else. And so I feel like they have given us the opportunities. Obviously, like through, you know, cultural expectations, there have been some, you know, some things that they haven't been the most perfect with, you know. Like they just say some things because that's what they grew up learning. So, you know, I'm not going to say that like they were perfect, but I also don't want to act like I had like such an imperfect upbringing where like they wanted me to have like a completely different life from my brother intentionally. So that's my first disclaimer. But with that being said, there were some things that happened along the way that were like a little bit questionable, you know. Like I remember, like
what? Give me one.
I'll give you one. I'll think about it, how to say it right. But I remember like in high school / college, I was very gym heavy, right? I used to go to the gym.
Yeah. Yeah, she like was crazy, y'all.
5 days
a
week.
She was in there.
I was in there. I was a gym rat. I used to go, like, even when, like, I was so busy, even when I was, like, depressed to get out of bed, like, I would go regardless of anything, right? And I would do a lot of weightlifting. I would do a lot of, you know, physical activities. And it was fine. You know, like, my parents have always emphasized physical activity and gym and, like, being healthy and whatnot. So it was fine for them. I think just, like, the biggest thing was, like, oh, don't carry too much weight because then you're going to get, like, brolic. And, you know, and they didn't really say it directly. Like, I know my mom used to always be like, oh, like, you know, what machines do you do at the gym? Like, what do you do at the gym? And I would, you know, be like, you know, legs, like, squat machine, like, cardio, whatever I would do. And I think her reasoning for why she said not to go too heavy as a female is like, oh, it can like affect you having kids later on in the future if you do it like on your period or like if you do it when you're not feeling well. So her reasoning to not go too hard at the gym is like, oh, it can affect you as like a woman, as like a, you know, a woman as in like giving birth later on or like something like that. But I think there was like an underlying tone of like, you're going to get too brolic, you know, you're going to get too like masculine looking. But yeah, I used to love going to the gym, like, but I know that there was like a weird undertone to it. But again, with that being said, like in elementary school, me and my brother, we were both in like karate. We were both in dance. We were both in like, you know, all those physical, like swimming. We were in all of that. So it's not like it was looked down on. I think there's just like a level of don't go too hard, you know? And, like, even when I did boxing recently in, like, the past few months, my mom didn't say anything. She literally said, like, oh, this is good for self-defense. Like, this is good. Whereas I know another Bangladeshi girl that also was doing boxing. Her parents were like, yeah, you cannot go to boxing because it just looks bad. You're going to get, like, too masculine looking and it's, like, not a girl's sport. So it obviously depends on, like, parents and, like, who you are talking to. But
did they ever, like, kind of steer you away from having certain interest,
like what, liking cars, like being a tomboy?
Exactly.
I don't think I had too much of an experience because, you know, I wasn't really a tomboy. Do you think that you were steered away from certain things? Because I know you aren't like the typical, you know, because like if you didn't know, Mashoon's like a poet, you know, he's vulnerable. He shows his feelings, you know. A lot of people are kind of just like rock solid, punches walls for fun. But, you know, you, like, show your feelings, you write, and you also are very in tune with, like, fashion. You are, you know, you love your jewelry. So, how do you feel about that?
Oh, man, do I got a lot to say. You feel me? Any boys listening? Listen up. I think part of me gets why our parents might get upset about this type of stuff, at least for my parents, and I'll get more into that later. But my mom used to get very upset with me for some of the interests that I used to have. And a lot of time, you know, these weren't even interests of mine. It was just when I was younger, I just wanted to try anything and see if I like anything. It wasn't me being like, Mom, I want to do this. Like, no, it was just like, you don't know if you like anything unless you try to do it like consistently for like a couple days or a couple weeks, you know? And when I was in high school, I was going through this time when, like, I just really had no idea. Like, I had no idea who I was. And that messed up a lot of relationships that I had in high school. And I just spent so much time trying to figure out, like, what the hell I like. Like, what the hell am I interested in? That's why I was going through, like, so many different phases. Whether it was, like, musical phases or clothing or, like, just my attitude, like, everything. Like, I was changing up so much, and part of me regrets that because, you know, I'm not a fan of who I was in the past. But ultimately, you know, all that shit got me to where I am today, and I'm very happy with who I am and how I represent myself today. But growing up, bro, like, I was wearing, like, man, like, all right, well, I'll get to the clothing later. The first thing that my mom used to get very upset with me about, and still does, and this is something that a lot of guys can relate to, is that our mothers don't really want us to take care of, like, our skin, or, like, buy just skincare or just, like, health products. Like, it's not a thing. Like, we are supposed to use water and our hands, and that is all.
They want you to be dirty.
If they want you to use soap, go ahead. But water, and that is all.
Right.
And I remember in high school, I was like, you know, there was a Lush in my mall right across from the street. And, you know, I was interested. like nice branding.
Right.
I would go inside.
Lush, if you want to sponsor us, we're not.
Lush, listen, this like, this is personal. You understand? I used to go into Lush and I used to just get little samples of things. And I would bring them home and my mom would throw them away all the time. Like, she's thrown away so much, like, so many skincare things that I've purchased over the years. And it pissed me off. You know, and, like, you get mad at me, like, all the time because, like, I use the same moisturizer I've used since I was a 5-year-old. And it was because, like my mother was just automated to buying this. It's literally the most basic Pond's moisturizer. It's the cheapest one. It's at the bottom of the shelf. And that is what I've used my whole life. And I know that there are 20 million better moisturizers for me to use. But I've just become automated to purchase this. And whenever I try to purchase anything else, my mother throws it away. And that's kind of what I've been through, like, my whole life. And whenever I remember I bought this like face mask. I used to love the Lush face mask.
The coffee one.
And I got this one. I got a coffee one. And my mom threw it away. You know, she was like, you don't need this. You have good skin. And then the next day when I get a pimple, it's, why do you have a pimple? You need to clean your face.
Drink some water.
And so I had a lot of that, you know, not to bash my mother. It's nothing against her. It's, you know, I know a lot of guys go through that. And, you know, you've come to my life and you tell me how I don't use much on my face.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
And you try to, you know, give me more stuff. But unfortunately, I've just become so automated to literally just using water and the most basic moisturizer.
But you feel, like, so at peace when I do your skincare routine at night for you. Like, it's just, like, I see how happy you get when I, like, put the toner on your face and put the night cream on your face and the Vaseline and everything. And it's like, you shouldn't be called names for taking care of your face or your skin or yourself, you know?
Oh, but like, I am.
Like, what are some of the comments that you got? Because I know there are things like, you know, you getting called gay and how, like, that's, like, a negative thing in the South Asian community.
I mean, you know, I don't want to sit here and talk about the names that my mom would give me. Because at the end of the day, like, the names are just her not understanding the situation. It's more so like I was upset that she was just thinking that way in general.
Yeah.
And you know, I get it, because we live in America. We live in the West. Life in the West is radically different than not only Bangladesh, but a majority of the other world where this is not normal and it's a drastic change for any of them. So whatever. But I just get upset that not only is it that they think like that, but it's like, you see, like, this is not bad. Like, this is not bad activity I'm doing. Like, I am trying
activity.
To, like, I am not committing a crime. I am not, like, I am simply using a
face mask.
That's
how you know that they're bored and they have nothing else to yell at you for, where they start coming at you, like, for doing basic things for yourself.
It's like, I remember I would put on a face mask and I'd run to my room. And, like, make sure my mom doesn't see me. And I'd run back to the bathroom to wash it off. And it's just that they think that they know everything. Like, they think that you get a pimple because this. A plus B equals C. When it's like, no, mom. There are many things that can lead to many different things. And every single human in the world is completely different. Just because you have perfect skin doesn't mean I'm going to have perfect skin. Doesn't mean my sister's going to have perfect skin. Just because you drink water your whole life doesn't mean I need to drink water my whole life to clear all this acne.
Well, why do you think that parents are so against you, or not you, but like anyone doing things like that? Like, what are they scared of?
I mean, because it is feminine, right? those aren't my words. These are their words. Like, taking care of yourself is feminine. Like, I remember the first and last time I ever got my eyebrows, like, done, you know, with, like, the threaded. It was my friend took me to his lady. It was, like, 20 minutes away. It cost $7. And I got them done for my senior prom. I came home and my mom was so pissed off at me. When it's like, because these things are quote unquote feminine. She doesn't want her son, like, doing anything gay. These are not my words. These are the words of all of our parents.
You know what's crazy? It's like things like this, you know that you have to hide from your parents. And it's like it's a part of your identity, obviously. Like, you taking care of yourself, you playing sports that your parents don't want you to play, whatever. And you feel like you have to hide it from them, even though it's such a big part of your life, because you want to avoid, like, all of these arguments and all of these, like, you know, disruptions in the house. And it's kind of like what pushes you away from your parents, because you can't tell them who you really are. And it's like not even a big deal. But they make it into such a big deal, you know?
There are so many kids who are, like, scared to go to their parents and be like, "Mom, like, I don't have really good skin. Like, what should I do?" You know, or like, "Mom, like, I don't like this about me. What should I do?" That doesn't happen. It's just, like, kids learning themselves. Their parents get upset because their kid is doing something that the parent is just not accustomed to. And then the kid has to just hide it for, like, the rest of their time at home. Mm-hmm. And it's upsetting. And that's not how things should go. And, you know, not everybody has the willpower to just push through, you know, and just keep doing what they're doing and go against the word of their parents. That's kind of what I did. You know, I kept doing, like, face masks, and I kept going to Lush, and my mom kept throwing away, and I kept getting upset with her. But a lot of the time, like, it does mess with the kid, you know?
Right.
And I know, like, skincare is something that you've struggled with for a long time, and I know it was probably hard for you to ever talk to your mom about
it. It was really hard for me, and, like, it doesn't really relate to, like, going against the conventional path. Like, it doesn't really make me more masculine by, you know, doing skincare. But I had a really, really, really tough journey with skincare, where, like, I had really bad acne since high school, and I tried every single topical drug from the pharmacy, from my dermatologist. And my mom is very, she doesn't believe in allergies or illnesses. When Mashun came to my house, she didn't believe that Mashun was allergic to my cats. So
I was choking.
He was literally dying. She doesn't, like, believe. She thinks, like, you know, drinking water, eating fruits.
Yeah. Drinking water cures you.
So anyway, you know, I had acne for a crazy amount of years, and I would go on all these different things. And the only thing that ended up working for me was Accutane. And I went on that during my master's, I believe. And she didn't want me to go on it because, again, it's a huge pill, and it's, like, not a natural substance to take. And it also deters you from having kids later on in the future. Potentially, obviously, it's not proven. But so she was, like, very nervous about that because it prevents you from being, like, a woman, you know, from giving birth properly. But that's really not true. That's only if you get pregnant while you're on the drug. But so she was very against it for many, many years. I could not tell. I had to, like, basically hide it from her. I couldn't tell her what I was taking. I had to go to the dermatologist without telling her. But it really took a toll on me because, you know, my skin was just the first thing you see when you look at me. And it was just such a big insecurity of mine. And so even when people compliment my skin now, which is crazy that they are, it's like, you know, I went through hell getting it like this, you know. But anyway, it doesn't really relate to, like, me going against, like, a conventional path, but it just shows you how, like, I feel like the moms, when they see you go against the conventional, like, feminine route, and they see you do something that might cause you to not have kids, or, like, cause you to not be marriable or, like, marriage worthy, you know, that's when they start reacting. So, like, if I do go to the gym and start getting gains, and I have bigger biceps than Mashun, it's like, oh damn, can't go to the gym anymore. Mashun's not gonna like you, you know?
And the most upsetting part is, like, you know, like, I saw my mom do it to my sister a lot growing up. Just, like, tell her, like, oh, you shouldn't do this to yourself. You shouldn't do that to yourself. You should wear this. You should wear that. And I didn't get it when I was younger, but I think about it now. And just to see like the way that like my sister moves, I know a lot of what my mom has said and maybe what I've even joked about, you know, has affected her. And you know, like this is like directed towards women. Like I think like the mother of the daughter just doesn't have enough empathy for like what the daughter is going and like actually struggling with. Because like, you know, when women are at the age of like, you know, high school or early college, like they're very like sensitive and they're very like considerate of like the way that they look, the way that they present themselves to everybody. And the mother should help guide them. You know, I feel like there isn't much help. It's just like, you gotta do this, you gotta look like this and that, and to do that, you gotta do this and you gotta do that. And it's like, have a little bit of care of what this girl is going through, because like she doesn't know much yet, you know.
I think it's really frustrating when you are a young girl and the only person that you want to look up to is your mother, but your mother is also kind of like your biggest hater, like pointing out all of your insecurities. Like I was thinking about how, you know, if I were to wear like baggy clothes at home, because obviously I'm at home, I'm gonna wear like a long t-shirt, baggy t-shirt, long like baggy pant, like sweatpants, whatever.
Yeah.
And I would kind of, you know, get told like, oh, like why are you wearing that at home? You know, you look like a man, like blah blah blah. But I'm at home. You know, you're supposed to be the most comfortable at home. And then even if I do choose to like wear tighter clothing going outside, it's like, oh, why are you showing off your curves? Why are you wearing this? So it's like, you know, as a girl, you can't really win. And it's like, I'm always told to cover up. But if I'm wearing something too baggy, it's like I look homeless or I look like a man or it's like I don't look desirable. So I've had an ongoing fight with my mom about my clothing for years and years and years. And it still goes on. And I think it's just something that will always be like that, you know, but it is really hurtful when it's like you have kind of like a sense of body dysmorphia whenever you're around like family that you care about, because like, you know, they don't really know how to support you in the right way. And it's like, I feel like the root of like why they say these things is because, you know, they don't want you to look bad in front of like family members or the community, because, you know, image is like the most important thing. But at the end of the day, it's like at the expense of the daughter, you know.
I've gotten so sick of hearing like the, oh, like what would like, oh, this person is going to see that. I don't care. Like my mom used to get so mad that I used to post my outfits on Instagram. Like, oh, like you look like a girl. Like
those are so cute though.
Like I literally don't care. Like it's not even me saying that for fun. Like I don't care what my family across the world like thinks about me. Like, yeah, I love them. But if they love me, they're not going to make fun of me. They're just going to be like, oh, that's my cousin. Hello. That's my niece or nephew, whatever. You know, and like on the topic of clothing, goodness gracious. To this day, I get the, why are you wearing that? Why you look homeless? You look like a girl. You look
Remember
like
when you even like had a pink Las Vegas shirt that I love and you couldn't wear that back home?
Well, I remember this one time before we went out to like Home Depot or something. She made me take off my bracelet. My bracelet. It's not like a silver or gold. Like it's literally like this one. Like the what is this called? The one you made me.
Like the beads.
Like a beaded bracelet.
Like the homemade beaded bracelet.
Like and that's, and my mom's like, oh, in the Quran it says I'm like,
chill out. Is this in the Quran beaded bracelet? Men shall not wear beaded bracelets.
Because in the Quran, it says that, you know, men should not do feminine things. Females should not do masculine things. That is what it says. What the hell does that mean?
That can be anything.
Like, what the hell does that mean?
That can
be. All right, so working, you know, a tough job is considered masculine. Should a woman never do that? You know, should a woman not go to school at all? Should a woman not get like be an engineer? Like, what does that mean? Like, my mom, like, I'll wear a bracelet. You can't do feminine things. What? You know what else it says in the Quran? In the Quran, it says that you can't alter your body. Women get ear piercings. Nobody talks about that. That is altering your body. When I say that to my mom, whatever. I'm not going to go this. If you are Muslim, like, don't yell at me. Like,
Shut your ears.
I'm just a man. Okay, I'm just a young boy, just expressing his opinion. Whatever.
Just a young graduate boy who has gone through trauma.
I did graduate. Bachelor's degree. My GPA doesn't matter. Chill.
Right. Chill no out. One asked.
But yeah, like whenever I would wear like, you know, like skinny jeans, or whenever I would like, just the concept of being interested in fashion is feminine. Like
no, but like, but like, what really got me was that you were holding a dress the other day.
No, go ahead, go ahead. Tell this sincerely. When I was in, tell this,
Auntie, if you're listening to this, I'm not mad. It was just funny. So Mashun, you know, the beautiful man that he is.
I'm very caring of my women, insisted
that he buys his mom a dress from Macy's that she did not want anymore because of the price or whatever it was. So he was like, no, mom, like, I'll go to Macy's today and just buy it for you because I know you really want it, blah, blah, blah. So we go to Macy's for his graduation. We have to get his graduation pants and like the dress for his mom, right? And so suddenly, after, like, me, his sister, and Mashun were trying to find the dress because there aren't that many left. And we finally find it after so much help, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's so excited to tell his mom, like, mom, I found the dress. Like, he's carrying it. He's, like, excited to show her.
Right.
And then his mom was like, why are you holding it? Let your sister hold it.
She grabbed the dress out of my hands and gave it to my sister. And my sister was like, just let him hold it. And then my mom was like, oh, okay, fine. But it's like, my mom doesn't even want me holding a dress. I held it. It's for my mom. You know, we can get into so much detail, but I will spare the details. Any boys that are listening understand the frustration, the difficulty that comes with wanting to be interested in fashion, in jewelry, in any of these things. Because of what is said about them, not by, you know, the public, but just by the people in their own home. You know, it's not accepted. It's so, like, nowadays I don't care. Like, my mom will say something and be like, all right, mom, whatever. But, like, when I was in high school, that shit really hurt me, you know? Not even because she was making fun of me, but because it's something that I had actual genuine interest and passion in. Like, I love clothing to this day, you know? And going thrifting was so fun for me. I loved it. I loved, you know, the morality behind it, you know, the concept of, like, you know, not only passing something down, but, like, it not going to waste, you know, the money that you spend at this small business. You know, you would spend quadruple the amount at Zara, who doesn't give a shit about you. You know, like, I love the morality behind it. And when I go to share this stuff with my mother, she just calls me gay.
How did you get to the point of not caring as much anymore of what she says?
I mean, it's not no secret. I mean, I just got used to it and I tuned it out. And I think me just having an actual, like, true passion for this type of stuff, you know, I didn't really care what my mom said. Even writing, I haven't even gotten to the writing part of how, like, you know, me being a poet, me being emotional and vulnerable with artwork is not normal. Even though Bangladesh is built on a basis of art and poetry, we won't get into that, you know. But it's not no secret, you know, and I don't really have any advice for this. It's just you know, you just gotta understand that, like, where they're coming from is a place of misunderstanding. They have no idea what it is like to grow up in, like, the Western world, to be exposed to things like fashion and artwork and movies, film, everything, like, growing up, because that's not what they did, you know. And you know, I talk to, you know, my cousin who's 17, and even though it's only, like, 6 years apart, there's so many things that, like, he does and how he moves and just mannerisms of him that I'm just like, what? You know, And so I cannot imagine, like, and none of us have kids, you know, and maybe some of us have cousins who are like 10 to 13 or 15, whatever. But like at the end of the day, like, we don't know what it's like to be a parent, to travel from another place, whatever. I won't get into that. I just tuned it out. I just realized that they don't know what they're talking about. So why should I listen to them? You know?
Yeah.
And that goes for anybody.
I kind of just like try to prevent it from the younger generation from letting it happen, especially like in my baby cousins. You know, I have a baby cousin that's turning 9 and one that's 11. And I made the 11-year-old a bracelet, and like my calumny, his mom took it away from him because, you know, he's a man or he's a boy and he's wearing a bracelet. And it's kind of like, you know, she doesn't know better. She's kind of like in her parents' generation. But like, I'm the one yelling at her saying like, no, that's not right. And you know, my baby cousins also have a voice now because of me, and they kind of speak up for themselves and say, mom, that's not right, like, I'm not less feminine, I'm not more whatever it is, you know, just because I have a bracelet on. So I'm always like, you know, saying like, oh, you want me to put mehendi on you, or like things like that, you know. I was listening to a podcast yesterday. I was listening to Call Her Daddy, and she had a guest on. I think it was Daniela something. And she's a really big business owner. She has like designs that were worn by like Kylie Jenner, all those people, celebrities and things like that. And she was asked, you know, like, did anyone ever discourage you from starting a business? Right. And now that I'm thinking about it, I also have a business, you know, as you guys know, labyrinthof.com.
Yeah. Yeah, we know.
Yeah, you know, labyrinthof.com, if you didn't know. Think 15 to get 15% off your order. But anyway, you know, I also have a business, and I started it when I was like 21. And, you know, even now, I actually hit, or I'm going to hit 2,400 orders like tomorrow.
How many?
2,400 orders.
No, you mean like 240, right?
No, 2,400 orders.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Your favorite Bangladeshi small business owner. Anyway. So I'm about to hit that many orders, right? And even now, I still have family members that are like, Mahua, like, you saw my mama calling me. I was in Florida the other day. My mama called me. Mahua, these $4 profit won't do you anything. Get a real job. And it's like, you know, I live by myself. I pay everything by myself. I pay all my bills by myself. And yes, it's hard. Yes, I struggle sometimes. But that doesn't mean I can't do it. And basically in the podcast, she was saying, like, you're going to have a lot of people saying that you can't do something. You're going to have family friends, close friends telling family, you know, saying that you can't do something. And, you know, a lot of people can be faced like that. And especially if you're in that impressionable age where it's like you're very affected by these words, it's going to affect you. But if you are very passionate about what you're doing, if you know who you are, your true character, you will keep doing it regardless of what comments you get, because you know you're going to just, you know, you're going to progress in the type of person you are, with the business you have, with fashion, if you like that, whatever it is, you just have to keep pushing through. And although that is like, you know, such a cliche type of advice, it is true. Like if it's meant for you, if you truly are into that passion, if you truly are, you know, what you're getting insulted for, and you know that that's you, just keep pushing through and don't just, you know, listen to what other people are like. People want to see you fail. So keep resisting and keep just pushing through regardless of what you get called.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good one, right?
I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
She went off. Labyrinth.
What can I say? What can I say? Labyrinth coming through.
You want to move to the questions?
Just because you're the graduate?
Questions. Oh.
You think just because you're the graduate, you can take the spotlight from me?
Yeah.
Guess whose birthday week it is? You forgot?
Goodness gracious. By the time this episode comes out, her birthday is going to be in 2 days.
Oh, wow.
Y'all get to say happy birthday.
And then once this episode comes out, his birthday is going to be in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. August is a, you know, it's a special month. This
your
year
favorite,
it's a special month.
Your favorite Leo and Virgo couple.
Comment below, how old do you think we're turning? As she's pulling up the questions, of course, you know, I have my little segment. Few things. One, follow me on Instagram. Me. Not
he's been popping off. Follow he popped off with the graduation
Follow
post.
Difficult-ish after you follow me, right? Or follow Difficult-ish and then follow me. I won't mind that either, right? But you follow me, and here's why. Difficult just about getting more followers than me. That's not gonna happen. As you guys know, if that happens, I'm deleting everything. Not continuing. It's gone. Bye bye. Apart from that, after you follow me, after you buy my book, leave us a rating, review, Apple Podcast, Amazon,
Google. Listen, the more you talk, the more I can't focus on these responses.
All right.
Something that someone said that was not conventional in their gender was hanging out with friends at night as a girl. Parents always complain about what other people will think of us. You know what I remember about this?
What do you remember?
You know, as a respectful girl, I mean, you know, I was a very rebellious girl as well. Heavily rebellious, actually. But also, I would tell my parents, like, you know, I'm going over to my friend's house, you know, once a week. Just be like, it's like 7 o'clock. You know, I'm just going over. It's like a 2-minute drive. I'll be back soon. You know, we're just chilling in the basement. We're not doing anything crazy. And then I'd get all these questions. Oh, where are you going? Where are you going? Blah, blah, blah. What time are you coming back? Come back before 11 p.m. And I'd get so many calls throughout the night, right? Even though it was like a minute drive. Even though sometimes it was literally my neighbor's house. Five houses down. I would walk there, right? So many calls throughout the night. When are you coming home? Blah, blah, blah. But literally, my brother goes out in the middle of the night. No questions, nothing. Everyone's mute. Everyone has the best night of their sleep. Everyone has the best sleep of their night. And there's nothing. How you feel?
I mean,
you got nothing to say because he participates in the boy side.
No, I mean, like, at least for me, I know I didn't live the typical life, but like my sister was allowed out late too. I don't know. It's home by home. You know, it depends on the parents. They just want you to be safe. They just, you know, a little rebellious stage helps out a little bit. Not too long. Don't do it too long. Do it the right amount. Listen, if I could wave a little one, yappa-dappa-doo, and fix all your parents, not fix all your parents, but, you know, get them a little bit more open-minded, I could. Right. But alas, I'm just a boy, a graduated boy, but just a boy.
Yeah. So someone said, growing up, I'd always ask my parents to get me Beyblades or Yu-Gi-Oh cards so I could play with boys in my class, but they'd tell me, you're a girl, you should play with dolls or want makeup. They'd call me a tomboy just because I always enjoyed toys that were stereotypically made for boys. I still now enjoy games or stuff meant for boys, but I try to do it under the radar of my parents.
Do you think, how you feel about, you know, because you got your degree in childhood education, how do you feel about, like, concept of, like, boy toys and girl toys? Is that okay? Is that not a problem? Is that a problem?
It is a problem. Even the concept of, like, gender reveal parties and just giving them a gender, you know, from the beginning. I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know if I would personally do it. But just gendering your child from a young age, that's just, like, teaches them to be in, like, a certain group from a very young age. And that's why, you know, there's, like, when you're younger, you're like, oh, boys have cooties. And it's like, but, you know, you're a boy, you're not supposed to be wearing makeup, things like that. And you're not really supposed to be teaching them from a young age that, you know, there's like a certain group that they fit in. So I personally, like, I haven't really dealt with this. Like, I always played Pokemon and Mario and Wii and everything with my brother and my friends. And we were like always taught to play outside at Shondoshomai, like at, you know, sunset time, like in the dirt, not getting, like, it wasn't a problem for us. But it's really not a good thing when parents are like putting all these labels on you from such a young age and like saying that you have to act like prim and proper just because you're a girl, but guys or like boys can just like do whatever they want, you know? Did you have experience with that?
I think growing up, my mom didn't really care too much about what I played with and what I didn't. I think she understood that I was a kid and it literally doesn't matter. But I think when I started getting to like actual developmental ages, like post 12 or 13, and she saw me doing certain things, that's when she definitely stepped in. Because, I don't know, I guess she understood that when I'm young, it doesn't matter. But when I get to an age where I understand things, she didn't want me going down, not like, quote unquote, the wrong path, which isn't wrong. It's just the path to me discovering myself, which is the right path. That is the right path, which whatever that includes, that is the right path.
So this person said that they had a friend who's really into saris, not even to wear it himself, but for his mom. as with all brown families, consistently ridiculed him for it. Also, he was very excited for his wedding in terms of planning, decoration, costumes, etc. But he was ridiculed because only woman's excitement of getting married is justified.
Exactly.
You know what's crazy? I think a lot of parents, even now, associate like a man's love or a man's excitement for being gay or for being less masculine. Like, even like if a man is just sensitive with his wife or shows his wife like emotions or like hugs her or like loves her publicly, is like shunned.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
And then when things go wrong between the marriage, you're told, just work it out. That's how marriages go.
Yeah. And it's just really frustrating because, like, obviously I would want, when we get married, like, to have some sort of love. Like, is that such a wrong thing? But, like, people thinking, like, that's, like, a sign of weakness on the male's part, that's disgusting. And, like, you being excited for a wedding as, like, the husband and you getting, you know, talked about badly behind your back is literally disgusting. And that's why it's so hard for males. Like, obviously, I'm not going to speak for you, but that's why it's so hard for males to, like, speak up about what they're going through, about their, like, emotional distress, because they feel like it's not taken seriously and, like, they don't have a space to talk about it, you know?
We can definitely have an episode on mental health soon.
If y'all
boys want to hear that, you feel me?
If you got up to this part of the episode, let us know in the comments of our Friday episode post. Just, it's an inside joke.
Yeah.
Mashun, talk about your mental health. Just comment that. No one else will know what that means besides the listeners that are listening to this part. And we will know that you're an OG listener and that you want that episode to come out about males' mental health.
A big ol' hug.
Yeah.
And anyways, about the saris, exactly. You know, I think that's how I feel. Like, I love fashion. I love garments. I love learning about different fabrics and, you know, how to sew. You know, I remember when I wanted to get into sewing, my mom didn't even let me sew. You know, and my mom knows how to sew. And I'd be like, yo, mom, like, teach me a little bit. She's like, nah, lakbina, you don't need to. I'm just like, I'm interested in clothing. Like, it intrigues me. I'm interested. I am not gay. I am not less masculine. I am just interested in this certain thing. Is that a problem? I guess it is. You know, it's wrong for boys to like saris, to like, you know, beautiful material in the world and how, you know, garment workers in Bangladesh work hours and hours a day to make this product. We're just not allowed to like it. We're just not allowed to show any interest in it. You know, it's annoying. It's really annoying. And honestly, it might have definitely, like, slightly deteriorated how much I actually like the stuff. Because, like, you used to see, like, how much I love my silk shirts. My mom used to make fun of me all the time for them. Why you need this? Just buy a nice shirt from Gap. Buy a nice shirt from Banana Republic.
You look so handsome in your silk shirts.
But, alas, it is what it is, you know? My guys understand.
You can wear those shirts all you want in New York.
My guys, if y'all still listening, girls too, whoever this relates to, keep wearing whatever you want to wear. Doesn't matter. Even if it means you got to wear something a little bit different to get out the house. Once you're out the house and you're on your own, go change. Go take off whatever. Go
put on whatever. I used to do so much of that.
Just wear your own shit. Wear whatever makes you comfortable, what makes you happy, what makes you feel like you're expressing yourself a little bit more. Yeah. Whatever you want to do. We'll always be in support of
you. I think that was, like, one of the best things of me moving out was me actually having the freedom to finally express myself in a way that I haven't been able to before. And just, you know, having the space to just grow without getting insulted for just existing. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, just wear clothing that I truly identify with. And it's been really nice to have that.
All right. You know what time it is?
What time is it?
Called the 10-second advice session.
Oh, 10-second advice. Let's think.
What you got? I got one.
Oh, wow. You're going first for the first time ever.
Get some balloons. You know? I think balloons intrinsically make people happy.
Guys, I got him 50 balloons, right? Like, me, his sister, and his two cousins, we were just blowing up balloons furiously at 1 o'clock in the morning while this man was snoring away his life, right?
Yeah.
We got him. I surprised him in the morning. He was so excited.
Yeah.
And he, like, took the balloons and he just kept, like, hitting it against his toe for, like, 2 hours straight. And I was like, was it a mistake to get him balloons?
No, no. Because I think balloons make people happy. Buy some balloons, blow up some balloons, just put them around your house. Yeah. Blow a balloon. I think they make people happy. And I actually have balloons in my office as well because my coworker's birthday was the other day. You know, you saw. And they're just nice. Get some balloons, okay? You got any advice?
My advice is make some non-tacos. Nancos.
No, please give me some.
Nacos. Nancos.
That took zero thought. Please give me some else.
Oh, okay, but get balloons. It's so nice, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I made this new recipe. It's not really new because I saw it on TikTok, but made it myself. And they're essentially tacos, but with naan instead of like the taco shell and hummus. And it's just so good. If you want to see a recipe, I'm going to post it on my TikTok. And I also posted on my What I Eat in a Week, What I Eat in a Day on YouTube. So, good.
Good. Stayed in the guidelines. Good. Yeah. Those knuckles do look good, though. You got to make them for me.
Yeah, I will when you come to New York.
Oh, wow.
For my birthday.
Oh, somebody might be in New York this weekend. Might go on live. Wow. Don't know.
Wow.
Anyways, that's it. I'm done talking.
Finally.
Anyways, thank you guys for listening to our podcast on our episode about, you know, stuff.
Yeah, don't forget to listen to our last episode of How We Met.
Yeah, listen to our last episode.
The story of us.
That's a goodie.
Don't forget to give us a rating of only 5. And review us on Apple Podcasts if you like us. Okay. And also, we have a TikTok that's been popping, you know?
Yeah.
Mushroom's on TikTok duty. We've been posting some
Now that I'm done TikToks. With school. Listen, I'm in podcast mode, okay? This podcast is going to hit the upper echelons.
Yeah.
It's going to be on the stratosphere. It's going to be on the moon like I'm Elon Musk.
Okay? Oh, wow. All right.
Feel me?
So, at Difficultish Podcast on TikTok. At Difficultish on Instagram, at Mushroom Munir.
Yeah. Okay.
Give him some follows.
Enough.
At Labyrintha for me.
All right. Okay, bye.
All right. Allah Hafiz, guys.
This isn't just a game, it's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100 year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.